7FM. Very much welcome. That's for your comments and your thoughts on the various subjects we're discussing this afternoon. Production is by the Joy Sports team, led by Benaya Elom Dafia McPaul. 055-111-1997. 055-111-1997. Amazing stuff. Always glad to serve you the hot issues from the perspective of the experts and the specialists right here on this dial, which is three decades young. Thank you so much for making us relevant. Welcome to the Joy Sports Link. My name is Nathaniel Atto, and the conversation comes up now.
Like jollof at a wedding. The luckiest season 3 is here. Your chance to flip your luck, or maybe your bank accounts too.
Two easy ways to join. Dial *712#. Hit 1 to buy for you, or 2 to gift a friend. Feeling lucky? Pick 1 for a random number, or hit 2 to choose your own. Pay with mobile money. Done. You're in.
Or go to theluckiestafrica.com, click community tickets, choose your number, or let the system do so for you. You can buy a ticket for your boohoo or your favorite barber. Pay with Momo or card if you are abroad.
One ticket could turn your one Ghana cedi into 500 times more, and the whole community could win 10 times over.
Dial *712# or log on.
Let's get lucky together, because luck is everywhere.
Joy 99.7 FM.
Thank you so much for keeping faith with us here on the Joy Sports Link on Joy 99.7 FM. As I mentioned earlier, we're streaming live on YouTube, so all of our friends from all over the world can join us and join this conversation. Once again, my name is Nathaniel Atto, and I'm glad to bring you this afternoon's Joy Sports Link. Charles Osei-Sibe is a man who wears many hats, and as I mentioned, the credentials are vast. Has experience from journalism, having served at the Multimedia Group. You served with Happy, served the Despite Group. Also, you know, has had quite a good run as an administrator with our various sporting associations, and who is the founding president of Ghana Arm Wrestling, who have quite a bit to tell us regarding how we should be repositioning our minds regarding sports where Ghana can actually make a lot of impact. There's a great story to tell and to celebrate from the arm wrestling competition that took place, the global competition that took place, where Ghana got 3 medals. Also, we'd have to celebrate the story of UDS, the University of Development Studies, who went all the way to China to conquer all in all sorts of interesting drama circumstances to overcome and win the ultimate trophy for
the World Football, World University Football Championship. Charles, great to see you here. It's been a while. We've been trying to schedule this for some time now.
Yes. Mon frère Toki Lala.
Toki!
Thanks for having me.
Great.
Pardon me for not being able to be here because I had a lot to do for this country. So it was for a good reason.
Definitely.
It wasn't deliberate. Even today, I should be moving around with the baton, King's baton. But because I had disappointed severally, I decided to come in today.
Great.
So
great.
Once I'm done with you, I'll meet the team on the way to Dodoa.
Interesting stuff. Let's begin, you know, on a solemn note. In the past few months, we've had to bury two former presidents of the Sports Writers Association of Ghana in Mr. Aka Anthony and Mr. Ebo Kwanza, two great gentlemen who paid their dues to the sports journalism industry during their active years, you know, in the print media, and also leading our association. We had to lay Mr. Aka Anthony to rest on the 13th of September and Mr. Ebu Kwanza earlier in the Western region. Tough to deal with, isn't it?
It makes it tough because these are encyclopedia as far as sports is concerned. These are legends. These are people we look up to. These are people who have served the Sports Writers Association of Ghana and the country. It became so worrying when both of them had to go within a span of 2 weeks. In fact, less than 10 days. One goes some few days later, the other goes. As for Mr. Ebo Kwanza, the week before his demise, we were on phone, and he mentioned that he was going for a checkup. You know, we had to laugh over an issue. I think Black Stars, there was a game that had been played, or there was a publication about the Black Stars going to play somewhere, and he called me. We had a lengthy chat, and that was all. Only for Uncle Joe Agri to call me 3-4 days later to say that he's hospitalized. The following day, call comes to say that he's passed. We felt so bad because within the same period, we had lost our former president as well, Mr. Aka Anthony. So for SWAG, it wasn't a good moment for us. This brings to three of our past or former presidents going. The first one, first president, in fact, it brings to four. First president is over to you, Joe Latte.
Of course.
Last year, we gave him a state burial.
Definitely.
Before Joe Latte, that was the second president, Mr. Willie Kwatin, had also passed. We were only praying and hoping that we'll be able to learn more from these ones.
And on their feet.
And then Aka Anthony Ebo Kwanza also left us. On behalf of the entire sports journalists in this country and the SWAG, Sports Writers Association of Ghana, we want to commiserate with the family, and we continue to pray with them and to let them know that we are with them, because these are leaders who served not just SWAG, but Ghana. SWAG showed up at both funerals, and we did a bit what we could do to ensure that we have given them a befitting burial. So we pray that the good Lord will protect the rest of our leaders so we can continue to learn from them.
Great. And a message comes from Mauli Zogbenu. Mauli says, "Oh no, I didn't know Aka Anthony was gone. May his soul rest well." Thank you very much, Mauli Zogbenu, for that message. You know, I worked with Mr. Aka Anthony. I learned a lot at his feet. He's one of the people who held me by the hand and brought me up in sports journalism. Mr. Ebu Kwanza, you know, and this was obviously at the Graphic Communications Group, but, you know, Mr. Ebu Kwanza was at the Ghanaian Times Corporation. Yeah. Also was very powerful with his, you know, his columns and all of that, and putting truth to authority. And they sat back, you know, analyzed the situations based on their experience and put things the way they were supposed to be. And if not for anything at all, these fine gentlemen have imbibed a lot of great principles in us, the younger generation, and for that, we'll always continue to bless their memory. Let's get into what happened last night. The Black Starlets, you know, they started showing some good spirit, some grit, and some ability to fight back in this Wafu Zone B tournament. You know, they've secured a ticket to play in the next under-17 AFCON. And last night I was just having a conversation with one of our football legends and talking about, you know, the early to mid-90s. I know that a lot of the Gen Z people will struggle to relate to these kinds of stories, but that was the reality back in the early 90s, where juvenile football was a big thing from the grassroots level all the way to the national team level. And it gave us some very good names as well. What would you say about this silver-winning performance under coach Prosper Nathi Ogum?
Nat, I think it's leadership. Many people have had issues with the CAT administration, but I must say that they have done some good job. So I commend Mr. Keto Kreku, Prosper, the ESCO, and everybody who has been part of this. I am a federation leader, and I know what it takes. You realize that soon as Sket came, one of his campaign promise was to ensure that Colts football was back. If you check the background of these athletes, they have been drafted from the recently ended the Colts championship. Is it KGL or something? But there's an ongoing Colts league. And it makes me happy that, first of all, Colts football is back. About three of the players are players that came from or drafted from the Lai Kingston squad. You know, Lai managed the under-17, and then at some point he resigned. But three of these boys that played second came from the Lai squad. Fast forward. The Colts football is primarily the source of these guys. We have had issues with how players are drafted into the national team. Sometimes we raise issues about their ages and all. But once you go through MRI and you're able to play, you don't have so much doubt about the ages. So they come from Colts. They had a fine coach in a certain Frimpong Mansoor, who had been with the team over a period. But for club commitment, Frimpong Mansoor would have been the person to take this team. And then the FA appointed a teacher. These are kids, in the person of Prosper Ogun. And I was happy when he took over the team. He didn't change the team. He only brought one boy from the previous squad, the Lai Kingston squad. So he didn't change anybody in the team. He maintained the same squad, camped them over a short period. I mean, the whole team had been in camp for like 3 months. So they go into Africa. It is not about winning or not winning Zone B. It is about the qualification. And I feel that they have done some great job. Now that we have qualified, it means that we have begun a certain process. And my focus or concern is on transition. Whether we do well or not, this under 17 must properly be transitioned into the next squad, whether under 18 or under 20. Because normally we prepare them like this and then agents come for them. We're unable to monitor where they go and what they do. But primarily, kudos to the FA for ensuring that, for doing the right things to ensure that the team is able to qualify. At least, we're going to reminiscent. In the past, we would watch Ghana's under 17 on TV and jubilate over their performances, whether at the African level or at the global, you know, level. And I hope that we are not too sure when the tournament is going to be played. I don't think CAF has communicated yet, but We will be happy to see some good football. This is the time Ghana must rally behind this team. This is the time the FA must do everything possible to ensure that the team is prepared well for Africa and probably qualify for the world. Kudos to the FA. Kudos to Natogun. Kudos to everybody who played a role. I feel that we must pay more attention to the Colts football. I also get to know that almost all of these players are students. Almost all. They have come from the schools, and this is something good for us. Now, when you're teaching students, it becomes easy for them to grasp what you're teaching them. So, football and boot and football, whatever, I think the FA has done something good, and the future will be bright, the way I see things.
The future will be bright. You can also join the conversation. Remember, it's 055-111-997. 055-111-997. The Black Starlets of Ghana became runners-up in the WAFU Zone B tournament that just ended last night, losing to their arch-rivals Côte d'Ivoire. And of course, Côte d'Ivoire also becoming our nemesis at that level. Obviously, Côte d'Ivoire has done a lot in terms of setting up their structures.
You know, it's often been Nigeria.
Yes, but we overcame Nigeria, which was a big deal.
So the boys have done well. Like I said, qualification alone is key. Let's get in there and see what we can do in Africa. That is the most important. I mean, Nigeria, irrespective of how they get this done, have been our rivals. They make things tough for us. We have complained severally. The other conversation that also came up was about the CAF system, where the Ivorian coach had raised a concern to say that the group B is the toughest of all the zones on the continent. And he thinks it is not a fair pairing, because you can have Côte d'Ivoire, you can have Ghana, you can have Nigeria. These are powerhouses as far as African football is concerned. So if you put all of them in one zone or group,
you end up denying the big tournaments.
You don't see the big boys in the tournament. And maybe in future, for now, this is the best way, but maybe when CAF is resourced enough, they may have to look at the way, you know, they do these qualifications.
If you're just joining us, we're here on the Joy Sports Link on Joy 99.7 FM and also on YouTube. My name is Nathaniel Atto, and I'm hosting the General Secretary of the Sports Writers Association of Ghana, SWAG, who's also the President of the Ghana Arm Wrestling Federation and Vice President of the Global Arm Wrestling Federation. We're dealing with a couple of issues now. We started off on football, and we've been tackling the Black Starlets, who are now the runners-up of the WAFU Zone B area, having lost to Côte d'Ivoire in the final last night. And that also means that the Black Starlets have qualified to play in the next Under-17 Africa Cup of Nations. And the journey is such that you play there, you place well, and you can make it to the World Cup, where Ghana has triumphed on two occasions in our history. Well, would also, in terms of, you mentioned school, and that also comes at a time when UDS went to China to overcome. And the stories of how they all emerged to the final, I mean, I'm talking about the Black Starlets and, you know, UDS, are similar, that they fought back. There was is situations where they fought back. And, you know, fight back is something which traditionally we related more to Nigeria.
So, when they started the soccer tournament at the World University Games, I was just keen because the president for GUSA, who happens to be the coach of UDS, is my friend. Beyond that, one of my athletes, arm wrestling, had been recruited on scholarship by UDS. So she did her degree with UDS. But the man who made this happen for me, I think at that level, was the best brain. I don't know, or I don't have the profile of the other coaches who were on that platform, but knowing somebody who had coached premier clubs, top clubs in Ghana. I guess he knew what he was about. I also remember how difficult it was for them to even acquire the visa to travel. And then they go in there to do this magic. I feel they have made a statement. I am not surprised at their performance. I also check and I realize that apart from the fact that these guys are students, they all have had stints with clubs, either Division One or Second Division. I won't be able to speak to it whether it was a special arrangement by the school. So we sign you up, we get you to play for a club. I have done some before. I remember when I was managing Ebenezer Senior High, a lot of the young guys, that's what we did. We'll pick them from junior high school, give them admission in the school, and then we find clubs for them. So at any point in time that we went for school soccer, they were dominating. For 3 years, they were dominating greater, in fact, 4 years, until Accra Academy, led by Samuel Jan, came in to stop them, you know. So it was a deliberate effort. And I'm sure that is what Abubakar also did. Deliberately, he would ensure that the guys would play for clubs, so they would get more playing time, they would get experience. And I am so, so happy with what they have done. I'm sure that not all of them will be done with school. Agents, clubs, institutions across the world will be looking for them. And this is a good story to tell. Something coming from the schools. I have always said that the best way to develop sports, the best way to play sports per the American model, is through the schools.
Well, and that sure has worked for them in many parts of the world. I mean, if you look at South Africa and you look at the composition of some of their national teams, not necessarily football, you realize that they've got quite a number of students who are pursuing their talents in sport and are doing well.
You see, what happens is that you give them, first of all, life after their career. Okay, and then you also give them the opportunity of choices. You either pursue academics or you pursue sports. It makes it beautiful. This is one thing the Ghana Olympic Committee wants to ensure that it does for budding athletes. Would give you a number of career options so that if for any reason you're unable to continue with sports, then we can convert you to become an administrator, an accountant, a lawyer, or whatever. And I feel if we're able to do this as a country, the athletes themselves may have a plan. You compete till you are 30 years, then you divert. Because beyond 30, 33, your performance will begin to dwindle. But unfortunately, what happens is that we do not have life after career plan. But what UDS has done, I know that a number of these footballers, they are those studying accounting, management, and all. So beyond the football thing, they should be able to have a different life. And I feel this is something all the institutions and federations must emulate or replicate.
Great stuff. Still here on the Joy Sports Link on Joy 99.7 FM. Myself and Charles Osesibe here on the show. Now, you know, the Black Stars players are also doing their bit as we get ourselves ready for the next two qualifiers. The next game will be played on Wednesday, and this will be in Morocco. You know, Antoine Semenyo scored last night. You know, the mode was just amazing. Anybody who is Ghanaian and who is a fan of the player will be basking in a lot of pride. Just a few moments ago as well, Kudus Mohamed scored for Tottenham Hotspurs. And the mood just seems to be very right as we build up to these last two qualifying games. And it just brings a certain feel of positivity that in as much as we may not have the best form, you know, as a collective, you know, that the individual players are still doing well, and it gives us some hope that we can put up some very good performances to seal the ticket finally.
So just before I talk about the team's underperformance, on Semenyo, whoever spotted or scouted Semenyo, I think it was Kwesi Appiah first, did so well. Semenyo's career in Britain, having played for Sunderland, having played for Bristol, we saw something in him. It was why Kwesi Appiah brought Semenyo. Unfortunately, his performance in the national team is not too good, you know, to talk about. I've heard people complain about the fact that he either doesn't have the same quality of players to play with, or it is the coach's style of play. Semenyo has proven that he's our top marksman. Unfortunately, he's not given the chance to do what he does at club level. I disagree. If people say that the quality he has at club level, he doesn't have at national team level, I disagree. Because I do not see the kind of players surrounding him at club level, at the Black Stars level. The quality of the Black Stars level is higher than club level. Maybe what is happening is that the coach has seen something good with him, his pace, his energy, his skill, and has given him that confidence to do what he can do. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen at the national team level. It is either a coaching issue or it's tactical indiscipline on the part of the entire playing body. And even that, it still sits with the coach. Because if your players are tactically indisciplined and are not playing according to instructions and directives you have given them, you must take a decision. Because Semenyo plays for Ghana and Ghanaians insult him. He goes back and he plays like he's on top of the world. Not just him alone. Kudus and the rest. So I feel our coaches must do something about the way we play. Otherwise, we will continue to underperform. I see players performing at club level and I tell myself, this is not how our Black Stars must be playing. Black Stars is underperforming based on what we see these individual players do at club level. Look, Nat, in the past, we had players in Greece, Turkey, and Portugal. I know Kujo Fianu used to call them GTP. Our players were coming from Greece, Turkey, and Portugal.
Yeah.
So he used to call them GTP. But at that level, at that time, they would come and play beautifully well. Now, you have players in the top five leagues in the world, and they cannot play. It marvels me. We have about five players who are playing top flight football in the Premiership. You have a player who is doing so well in La Liga, and the others elsewhere, unfortunately, we have players playing top football in the top five leagues. And as a team, they cannot play. Nuts. I don't know what the problem is. I don't want to conclude or join the conversation that is about coaching. But if indeed it's about coaching, then the coach must sit up and get things right. Because we do have quality. I mean, earlier, you made a point, you made a statement. This quality may not match up to the level of the Asians, the Appiahs, the Muntaris and the rest. But these are the same guys who are dominating Europe. And I feel that it is just a matter of time. It happened to Nigeria. Nigeria 2013, when they won the AFCON, a certain or a supposed team A said they won't play because of bonus issues. And then the Football Association took a decision. They brought in a certain team B. In fact, even our former coach, what's his name? Bring your name, the Frenchman.
Claude Leroy.
When he came to Ghana, or even before he came, when he came to Ghana, he decided to pitch unsung players who were doing so well in either Division 1 or Premier in Europe. And he tried to build a team. So the issue about the level of our players, for me, is not something we should be discussing. Our players are quality enough, they are playing so well, and that must show or be replicated at the national team level. Nobody can convince me that there's a reason for which they are not performing. The key reason must be technical, and I feel that the coaches must do something about it. Because these guys leave Ghana immediately after playing, they go and score. They go and win man of the matches, but they come here and fans boo at them. Not something must change, otherwise nothing won't change.
But we have two games to play, and they are very, very crucial. Some say we need to get the main game off the table, secure the 3 points, score as many goals as we can,
and then plan for the party.
Well, if that is the situation, yes.
Well, everybody knows that the team is already there. I won't believe it, and I won't understand if Ghana fails to qualify for the World Cup. The players themselves, right from the captain to respectfully the least in the team, they know that they have no option. Apart from the fact that they won't forgive themselves, Ghanaians won't forgive them if they don't qualify. This World Cup is in Mexico, Canada, and US. Ghanaians want to join the party. Even Brazil, we were there. We've been to South Africa and all, but Ghanaians want to be part of this party. So Ghana will not forgive them if they don't qualify. For the players as well, it enhances their career. It opens up a lot of opportunities for them. So they want to play at the World Cup. At this point, I don't think they are thinking about bonuses and stuff. The focus is, let's get there first. And they have no option than to qualify. And I am very, very positive. Once we clear the first game and get the 3 points, we are there. Ghana will qualify. We cannot joke with this qualification. So, one more to a drone to a drew, one more bompire, one more mukwa sorry, one more incremophobia. It's a project Ghana, and we must ensure that it happens. Otherwise, we can't forgive ourselves.
Okay. So, for the benefit of those of you who don't speak Chi, he says those who do traditional prayers should do traditional prayers, and those who go to the mosque should do
those who
Muslim
do
prayers.
Juju too much, do juju. Those who do juju.
Okay.
Emphasize on that. Those who do juju must do juju.
You've said it in English, so
yes.
So
the Muslims must have Muslim prayers. Christians same. Juju form must do juju.
Do you
traditionalists must do?
So
same.
That means that there is an element of this. I mean, this is a conversation we've had so many times. So what it means that there is an element
they
of
exist.
Juju in food. They exist.
They
so you believe?
I'm a Christian.
Yes,
but the person who brought me up in Christianity told me that I should be worried of such. Because once you challenge, once you begin to argue that things don't exist, those things will or may kill you. So you must realize that they exist, so that you protect yourself. I'm a Christian. Once I know anything can happen, I just pray to my God. I protect myself. Things that I'm not supposed to do, I won't venture. But if you begin to doubt, if you challenge, if you test, you see that Things day. No, but you see, people do things and they try to convince you they did A, B, C, D, and it worked. People do things not.
Yeah.
It's about their beliefs. For me, I'm Christian. I worship at the Emmanuel Presby Church. I've been there for over 50 years, and that is what I believe in. But amazing. Normal,
sir?
I've done 11 Wise. I've done Heart of Lions as a football administrator. Wednesday.
You can also join the conversation with your WhatsApp line, and our WhatsApp line and platform is ready. 055-1111-997. 055-1111-997 here on the Joy Sports Link with Charles Osesibe and my good self. Now, So the Black Stars clearly will be called to duty this week. The team leaves first thing Monday at dawn, you know, so they can get settled in Morocco, and then they can start our preparations for that particular game. The final, one on the Black Stars is those who are still suggesting that even if we qualify, we should look for another coach. This conversation has come up quite a number of times. Where do you stand on this?
The conversation is diverse, okay? First of all, Coach Otuado was the coach who qualified us to our last World Cup. He beat Nigeria to take us there. He played two games. So the conversation is that, how do we all of a sudden say that the coach is a bad coach? He didn't play well at the World Cup, but he qualified us to the World Cup. I welcomed Otto Addo's appointment because from afar, I saw him to be a tough and a disciplinarian. I mean, a tough coach. But the decisions he takes on the bench makes me see him differently. But to change a coach, it's a risk we must take. To change a coach, it's a risk we must take.
Meaning that you are in favor of the idea of changing the coach?
Well, you look at the risk. You look at the risk first. It's a risk.
Okay.
It's a risk. First of all.
So considering the enormity of the risk at hand, would you say that it would, because there are some countries that people argue that they've been.
I'm saying that is a risk.
Mm.
And you must ensure that whoever is coming in will fit in immediately. Somebody coming with quality, somebody coming in with toughness, somebody coming in with discipline, and, you know, who would immediately fit in? Somebody with experience. Otherwise, when it is not broken, you don't fix. When it is not broken, you don't fix. So the issue about the coach, if you want to go to the market to find a coach, the coaches are available, but it's about cost. So you want to get Nat from multimedia. Maybe Nat is available, but his price tag. So apart from the fact that Nat is under contract, that you may have to buy him off the contract, it's also about price tag. Apart from price tag, do you have that kind of money? There are coaches. There are coaches who charge 500,000 a month, 1 million a month. Are we willing to do that? So it's about risk. Let's do our analysis. Very well. Is Otto okay, good, or better? Do we necessarily have to change? I mean, the last game, for instance, I didn't like his tactical approach. But I won't sit anywhere to say that Otto must go. Because for sacking a coach and to get a new one, a lot goes into it. If the FA believes in Coach Otto, let's hold the FA responsible for anything that happens. Otherwise, I will not advocate that we must sack coach. I am not happy with his performance, but I won't advocate for his sack because it involves a lot.
Well,
I mean, we value the World Cup so much. So if we have resources, if we think there's any quality coach somewhere, who will be ready, the condition, who will be ready to fit in, then we can consider. Otherwise, let's just manage the coach to give us the results we want. That's all.
All right. Now, we'll see how things go. I'm sure that by Wednesday evening, we'd have two sides of a conversation.
Why? You have won that the coach is going?
Well, it's based on the conversations that have come up in the past few weeks, and I'm sure you've also heard. I mean, it's nobody has said the FA wants to, but the all sorts of theories, you know.
If you want to change a coach, let's finish with these two games. Let's finish with these two games. At least you have enough time to prepare for the World Cup. So maybe after these two games, you guys can take your decision. I am not part of the football conversation, but I am an administrator. I am a leader, and I feel that the kind of decisions we take may be so detrimental to the things we want to achieve. So we should just be careful.
Be careful indeed.
We shouldn't do this based on sentiments, no. We should be careful.
Well, we'll see how things go.
Matt, the way you are talking, it looks like you have information.
No.
Or you have a coach for Ghana. You have a coach for Ghana. Tell us. The way you are behaving, it looks like you have a coach for Ghana. Or there's something you know we don't know.
I'm only asking the questions based on the the stimulus, you know, around and all of that. That's basically it. So we'll see how things go, like I said. Would also get into the squad. There's some good news for the Ghana Premier League once again. Every other time that it comes up, you know, it's refreshing to talk about. And since, you know, goalkeeper Benja Masaria from Accra Hearts of Oak went into the team, he's been able to command a starting place. And that also is giving some testament to the league. Our Ghana Premier League is not there yet, but
I think apart from Masari, there was one defender who was introduced. He played in one of our away games and he played so well. Mm. What is important is that when they come, first of all, it becomes a preparatory period for them. The camaraderie, the network, the engagement with the top players also becomes training for them. I pray that they will work a bit harder to get a commanding position. What Benjamin Asare has been able to do, I want to see one or two home-based players being part of the team. Many years ago, we will form or call up the Black Stars, and from number one to, let's say, number five, we're home base. So you would have a certain Salif Wansan or Edward Ansan from right to left to the four and five, Emmanuel Ama, Frimpong Manson, and all of them were home base, Kwesi Appiah and the rest. And then from six to the top, you would have the Stanley Abrez, the Abedi Peles, the name them. I pray we will get to that level. You know, at that time, the it was planned. Whether it was coincidence or whatever, once you have your back line being home base, they would have played together over a period, they know themselves and all that. These days, you have your number two coming from one league system, number four from another league system, the left back from another league system, and they are only able to train for just 2-3 days before a major match. So it has made our defense a bit porous, even though we have managed it till now. But I pray that any home-based boy that is given, in fact, that is called up, must be given the opportunity to play. That is the only way we can build not just the local league, but the confidence of these homeboys.
The defender you were talking about was Razak Simpson, right?
Razak Simpson.
Very well. Very well. So Prince Owusu of Midiama SC has had, you know, his bit. And, you know, he is a fantastic on the ball. Holding the ball and distributing it is just amazing. Let's see.
He should just be given a chance.
Interesting. Let's see.
I think he will deliver.
Let's see how things go on that end. One of the things that has happened over the period, especially with what happened in the past week, is the inauguration of an interim management committee for boxing. You and I have covered boxing all over the world, and you know, we've been part of the story at least for the last two decades. Mm-hmm. Ghana Boxing now is under an interim management committee that is led by the respected Samir Kapteyn, who's also the World Boxing Organization supervisor for Africa. Before that, there were some, you know, light disagreements in the background. The disagreements are still there. You know, a collective of stakeholders saying that, listen, this is not right. It overthrows the constitution. If you wanted to reform boxing, there are provisions within the constitution that says we should do X and Y. We've gone beyond that because now the IMC is in place. They have a 3-month mandate to manage, and they are supposed to clean up full scale so boxing can return and the stakeholders can go and elect the next executive to take over.
So now it is a difficult conversation, you know, to engage in. I shall also say SCB would have given this mandate to the interim leadership and tell them, I give you a month, go do A, B, C, D and come back to me. It wouldn't have been this kind of revolution. I'll task you, these things are not done right. Go do A, B, C, D and come back to me. If you come and I feel that you haven't been able to do what is right or what is expected of you, at least I gave you a chance. Then we can set you aside and get a new team to take over. That is what I would have done. I am not suggesting that whatever decision was taken was wrong. The ministry, the NSA, they have been closer to all these boxing, you know, brouhaha, and they know what exactly goes on in there. But I would have had a different approach. I would have given the same team the chance to go fix stuff. Maybe the decision was taken because the NSA and the ministry acted adamant. We only think things are not right. We have no information. Let us get people who understand boxing to come lead. So we hope that they will do something good. I mean, I know Samir Kapteyn. I've done some work with him on boxing. Professor Azuma Nelson and the rest. I only hope and pray that within the next few weeks, they're able to do what is expected of them and take us to the next level as far as boxing is concerned. I expected to see people with business, marketing, and PR acumen on the committee. Because this is an opportunity to rebrand or refix boxing. And the decision is too technical. We may have to plan and take boxing to the next level. If we miss this opportunity, then we're doomed not.
There are already indications that the blockbuster, you know, between Anthony Joshua, who was here for the last big fight night, and Tyson Fury, two boxers who have held the undisputed king of heavyweight boxing before, could be happening here in Ghana. The promoter himself has granted an interview to that effect, that That should be great prospects for, you know, the immediate future, isn't it?
So all of us will be happy. Beyond that, there's also a conversation about King of the Jungle Part 2.
Rumble in the Jungle Rumble, Part 2. Rumble, yes. So in Don the King's Jungle, daughter, yeah, has been in town.
Rumble in the Jungle Part,
yes,
2.
Yes, yes, yes.
Is also coming.
Yeah.
Depending on how things go. So sometimes when there's a situation, you must manage the conversations around the situation. Otherwise, you end up losing big time. Because if the world begins to hear all this about our boxing management, it may put them off. But we pray that we're able to get the Rumble fight here, and then I don't know if Sharaf is still involved in...
Clearly, Sharaf Mahama has, grown some very key relationships and networks within that space. Yeah. Because, you see, bringing Anthony Joshua here means that now he will have one key or the other, or one door opening into Matchroom Promotions, which is run by Eddie Hearn, who is one of the topmost promoters you can have on the globe now. He's the one bringing that fight to Ghana. And of course, for Anthony Joshua to have had the kind of reception that we gave him here in Ghana, when he visited for that fight night, going to the presidency, getting all the needed, attention and all of that, and respect. So, I'm sure that he's taking some good feedback away.
Yes. So, Nat, I pray that the Samir Captain leadership will be able to fix, and whatever document they bring, we'll all look through. If it means we have to input, if there's an opportunity to input, we get stakeholders to input, and then we implement. Because I hear you do boxing more lately than myself. There's a term they call Achiagbishi.
Yes.
You know that.
Yes.
Achiagbishi.
Yes. Yeah.
There's been too many of the Achiagbishis in the environment. Yes, it happens elsewhere, but our level is too much. That's why we're unable to produce world champions. We produce world champion, and in a year or two, we lose the title. I think we must change the way we do things. I agree we must change the way we do things, but we must get the kind of input, the kind of leaders that will help us amend the governance or the document that we use to govern boxing in this country. We just wish them well.
But obviously, the high point really was the fight night, the Legacy Rise and Amir Khan Promotions fight night. And question now is, that was a high point in Ghana boxing. I mean, from where you sat, how would you rate that whole?
Yeah, but you see, if you monitored the conversations after the fight, I mean, a week before, 4 or 5 days or a week after, the conversations were good. Then all of a sudden, it turned into a political banter.
Yeah.
And that became bad PR for Ghana and for the sport. That's why I said that when there are issues, we should be careful the conversations we do around the issue. These people came with good intent to rebrand, to help us rebrand boxing, to do business. For them, it is business. For us, it exposes us to the world. It exposes us to boxing business. It exposes us to a lot of things, including tourism. But the conversations after, I didn't like. It was a big thing for Ghana. But the conversations after, it wasn't good. And I think in moving forward, all of us, journalists, boxing promoters, boxing fans and all that, we should be careful the things we say to run down the industry we feed on. Because if you run it down, nobody will invest. If you run it down, nobody will lead. So please, if the boxing promoters and people interested in boxing are listening, let us not destroy the brand or product that feeds us. Let us all come together to ensure that we package it well to the benefit of everybody.
Still here on the Joy Sports Link on Joy 99.7 FM. My name is Nathaniel Atto. I'm sharing the company this afternoon of Charles Osei Sibe, who's the General Secretary of the Sports Writers Association of Ghana. Today we'll do our best to, incorporate the phone line so that you can also join us to, express your thoughts, about everything we've discussed so far. Let's get into, arm wrestling, which is one sport that you've pioneered here together with a strong team. And now Ghana is playing within the global space. The conversation about making armed wrestling an Olympic sport still rages on. And year in, year out, there we see the evidence of what every administrator is doing, all the players are also doing within their respective jurisdictions to make a bigger case for arm wrestling, to be incorporated into the Olympics. But just recently, Ghana took part in the World Championships, and we finished with 3 medals.
Sure, man.
Congratulations to you and the team again.
Thank you. It didn't come easy, but as a leader, when I sat watching, I had goosebumps at some point. I had tears, whether it was tears of joy. I was getting so emotional, not because they were winning medals, but because they were on tables or table after table, athlete after athlete, defeating strong nations or strong athletes, athletes from strong nations in arm wrestling. And as a leader, I was like, wow, how did we get here? So I looked back and realized that we had done some good job. So for me, it is not my doing, the doing of the great almighty, the doing of the people around me, my leadership from Kofi, Lydia, everybody. I can't mention their names. Maybe before I leave, I will. The partners, people who opened their doors to us. Developing, training, and managing these athletes doesn't come easy. If I tell you what my trainers go through to ensure that they have the requisite skill to transfer to these athletes, it doesn't come easy. The training environment, the training center, the equipment, not. I have said that we are building a sports brand and it's work in progress. In 9 years, just about 10 days ago, on the 27th, we chalked 9 years.
Wow, so soon.
Yes. Arm wrestling chalked 9 years. And for me, a new discipline like arm wrestling, and in 9 years, you have 1 gold medal from the World Championship, 3 silver medals, and 1 bronze. In total, in 9 years, we have won 408. You can take your calculator, and I'll remember every medal or championship we have been to and the medals we've won. It will come up to 408. We have won 408 international medals, and we are where we are. The other day, I was telling somebody that assuming arm wrestling was in the Olympics, we would be preparing to win an Olympic medal. Because when we go to the Olympics, it is these same athletes that will come to the Olympics. So if you're able to beat them at the World Championship stage, then it means you're a world champion. Once you're in the Olympics, the possibility of winning a medal is very, very high. So I was so elated. I was touched. And something happened. Anytime any of my athletes went to the table, then the presidents from the other continents, I was on the table with the other continental, not national federations, but they will come to me and said, President, Ghana athlete strong, technique small.
Yeah.
They are trying to tell you that the athlete is strong, but what he or she is left with is the technique. Mabel Yeboah, who won silver and bronze, look, and something happened. At some point, I was speaking tree to them. Unfortunately, we couldn't travel with the coaches because of visa issues. In fact, money, because I had to sacrifice the coaches and the referees and go with the athletes. We sat down. I told the coaches, unfortunately, we don't have enough to do this, so you may have to wait. And they agreed. By the support from the National Health Insurance Authority, we took them to Abuja to get visa for them, and then we bought ticket for them to go to the World Championship. Now, on the table, I saw the first match of Mabel. It was very tough, but when she won, she looked at me, at where I was sitting, and smiled. So I went to her. I got up and went to her, and I told her, Mabel, your style wasn't good. If you want to play the same style, you have to be fast, because the guys are fast at the world level. By the time the referee says go, in a second or two, you are gone. So she tried and tried and won bronze. Then the second day, then I told her that, if I told all of them, that the right arm is the strongest of every athlete. So when she won, she placed third on the left. I was so happy and congratulated her. But I told them that the right arm is the strongest of every athlete, and that today is going to be tougher. If you don't fight, you won't win a medal. So we had to change the strategy. We changed the strategy, and they decided to battle power. Anytime the umpire or referee will say go, they will hook and then battle the African way. And it was so beautiful. Anytime they did the hook and battled with strength, they won. They beat everybody. One of my girls, Mabel, Blessed. She nearly broke someone's arm at the world level.
Wow.
Yeah, the lady screamed and went off the table. But so beautiful of our sport, Blessed went back to the lady, hugged her, and said sorry after she had won. So I was happy. They went in good. They did their best, and they won. These are a 17-year-old and a 19-year-old I picked from schools. And talking about school sports, 17-year-old, 19-year-old I picked from schools. Now, if at that age they have become world champions or number two in the world, what it means is that if they train well, the possibility of becoming world champion is just next year. What it means is that at age 19, global dominance over a long period. Assuming you are going to play till 30 and you keep your training from 19 to 30 years. So close to 10 years or a bit more, you'll become a world champion. And this is the plan. We did, I don't know if you remember, we did some HD kids arm wrestling.
I remember
stuff.
Very well.
This is where we picked these athletes from. From the senior high schools. And we are going to go back to this because next year, 2026, Ghana is the host for the next African Arm Wrestling Championship. And that event will be the qualifier for the Africa Games. As I sit here, my fear is that Ghana may be the first country to host and not win the Africa Championship. Because normally it's won by the host. Because you get the opportunity to register for all the categories. In Abuja, Benin traveled with 78 athletes in Abuja. My fear, the kind of support Benin is getting today, they may come into Ghana with over 100 athletes.
100?
Over 100, they will do. So we have more work to do. Otherwise, Benin will come into Ghana, dominate us, and probably beat us. Look, I spent on Benin. I sponsored them. I trained them. I did everything for them. They played in the Africa Games, and the story changed. They won only 2 gold medals in the Africa Games, and the story changed. Now the government of Benin fully sponsors Benin arm wrestling. The last world championship, they took a team of 10, fully sponsored by government. On arrival, there was a welcome party at the airport waiting for them. Yeah, they were Ghana Mufri.
And we're told that in, is it Kazakhstan or?
Oh, I I wish we could show the video. I'll send it to Benin. Kazakhstan, the guys who won gold medals, $10,000, and then six of them were given new cars.
Brand new cars.
Everybody who won gold
got a brand new car and $10,000.
Got $10,000. And then about six of them were selected and they were given brand new cars.
Wow.
That is arm wrestling in Kazakhstan.
Interesting.
But you see, I feel that now that we are having dominance or comparative advantage, this is the period Ghana and government, this is the period corporate Ghana must pay attention to the sport so that by the time we get into the Olympics, we are prepared. You can use the Africa Games incident as a guide. Nobody expected arm wrestling to do anything. But behind the scenes, I was fighting to ensure that we play in the Africa Games, knowing what we could do. And see what this did for Ghana. Egypt is the next host. They are not joking with arm wrestling because when they came to the Africa Games, arm wrestling catapulted them to the first position. Otherwise, they would have lost. Nigeria. Now, arm wrestling is the number three sport in Nigeria. Because in Africa Games, they won about 14 medals. And it pushed them up to, I think, second position. So Nigeria and Egypt are not joking with the sport. Benin now have government support. Togo. What's SCB spent on all these countries? Now they have support of their... I sit here and I'm happy. But I continue to ask myself what is happening. But not... By the grace of God, if I have strength and we go past through the 2027 Africa Games, I will hand over. I will say thank you very much because the stress is too much. Mabako cry by force. You start something, you have a vision and you don't want to let go. So sometimes you do everything possible to ensure that you keep growing the brand. But it gets to a point where if you are not strong enough, you let go. As for the athletes and the people I move with, they know. My greatest joy is the kind of leadership I have. They encourage sometimes when it is difficult, when it is tough. We put our heads together, we go find money, we train the athletes, we push them to ensure they play. The other thing that also makes me happy is the relationship we now have with the security services, and they're employing them. Immigration employed 3, prisons has earmarked 4, police is chasing them like, now they are fighting over my police, and it makes me happy. Mm. They are fighting over my police, and it makes me happy. So, that is the only thing that is keeping me now. There's a bigger project I want Ghana to pay attention to. If indeed we want to go to 2027 Africa Games in Egypt and do well, it is arm wrestling. And I feel that it must be a Ghana project. Corporate institutions, everybody must get involved. We begin to train these young ones. In fact, we unearth them, we pick them from the schools and train them. They will go into Egypt and win the medals for Ghana during the 2027 African Games.
Very well. We're in the final leg of the show and I'll read some messages. This one is from Prosper and Dakuman. Prosper says, good day, Nat. Recent deaths and injuries in boxing sports is very worrisome. The GBA must come out with rules that will be deterrent enough to scare perpetrators and judges in the ring during fights, and they should be given better training to know when exactly to stop a particular fight in order to avoid such horrifying end of boxing bouts. All right. Thank you very much, Prosper, for your message. I need to make a clarification here. The Amaka Imatefu Committee has released this report. I've had the time to read some portions of it. And it will interest you to note that the autopsy that was performed on Success, Ularewaju Oluwasehun, you know, indicates that while even though he took part in that boxing bout and collapsed in the ring and all of that, it cannot directly be related to the cardiac arrest that he suffered that resulted in his death. These are very, very interesting facts. Also, let's be reminded once again that we are still waiting for information on the autopsy report of the boxer who died 11 days after taking part in a boxing tournament. Of course, like has been said already, there are issues to be dealt with in terms of compliance by the stakeholders, the various boxers, their trainers, their camps, and all of that, and some of the practices they engage in, which are not the best in terms of compliance. Okay, so another one, he adds some. He says, "I get surprised when Charles Osesibe can make a comment that the cost, as far as football is concerned, who make the argument of cost as far as football is concerned. Good football comes at a cost. If we really want to make a meaningful impact at the World Cup, then we'll have what we have to go for is the best, no matter the cost. So Coach Otuado is simply not fit for purpose." Okay, so Prosper Domenyo again with that particular one. Okay, so, well, you believe that we need to spend the money irrespective of how much it is and how much of a stretch it gives on our purse. Another one says, "Good afternoon, Nat and the Barrister." Remember, Charles Osesibe's, you know, media nickname is the Barrister. Uh-huh.
I don't call myself Barrister when the lawyers are around.
Of course. "Great discussions on the Black Stars and the World Cup qualifiers and the strength of our team. We hope that Otuado and his guys set up a very effective strategy to get at least 4 points to wrap up qualification in time. And for the other equally strong sports like arm wrestling and athletics, the government can channel just 40% of the cash on the Black Stars to the guys who did us proud in Tokyo." This is from Citizen Sika Togo. Okay. Thank you very much. There's another message coming from... okay, so tell Osesibe that I'm enjoying his delivery very well. He's indeed a fountain of knowledge as far as sports is concerned. This is from Summer, your AUCC mate. Okay. Okay. Thank you very much for doing the listening. Let's do some more messages that are coming from you during the listening of the show. I want to share my thoughts on the current state of Ghana's national team. While our players are excelling in European clubs, the same can be said when they don the national jersey. The Black Stars' recent performances have been underwhelming. In my opinion, the main reason for the disparity lies in the management and the coaching staff. Unlike their club counterparts, where players receive top-notch training and tactical guidance and support, the national team set up teams and they seem to be lagging behind. The Black Stars need more cohesive strategy and better player development and a clear vision for the future. The current state of affairs is affecting the team's performance and ultimately the country's football reputation. I urge the relevant authorities to take a closer look at the national team's setup and make the necessary changes to help our talented players succeed on the international stage. This is from Godwin Hukboti in Christian Village in Achimota. Just about 5 minutes more to wrap up the show. Let me do some more messages and see if we can squeeze in a few phone calls here on the show. Some more messages, yes. Now, congratulations to you, Nat, and all the members of the Boxing IMC. I sincerely wish you the best and hope you come out with something really good for Ghana boxing going forward. Prosper has sent this one again and he hashtags Joy Sports. Okay, I didn't want to mention this because I didn't think it was relevant. I respectfully, you know, declined the invitation to be part of the interim, you know, the boxing management committee. Like I said, I'm only because responding
we
because
needed people. Like, remember, I said that kind of people we wanted to see, we didn't see. But
I know. I had to make a few
considerations. Tokis don't behave that way. You were Toki, so you shouldn't have done that.
Well, we'll discuss the rest of it off air, and you'd understand me.
Yeah,
you'd understand me.
But our baton is in Dodowa now.
Very well, very well. Let's get into that briefly. Yeah.
So the baton, the king's baton. Yeah. Formerly, it was the queen's baton.
Yes,
it comes around the year preceding the
Commonwealth Games.
Yeah. So, He had gone to a number of countries. He had to come to Ghana. Unfortunately, just around the time, there was a national disaster. So on Friday, the baton came to Ghana. We went to the presidency. Your brother and friend, Chief of Staff, Honorable Julius Debra, unveiled the baton. And then he started the relay. So he picked up the relay and handed it over to Mr. Setepe, who handed over to Professor Dodu, who in turn handed over to Antinina, the Chief Director of the Ministry of Youth and Sports.
And Sports then and Recreation, you mean?
Recreation, Ministry of Sports and Recreation. Yes. And then it continued from there, the High Commissioner for Britain, UK, also picked it up, handed over to the Army Commander, who in turn handed over to Lydia. Lydia handed over to IG. IG handed over to Mrs. Bafubo. In fact, Acting Deputy Chief Fire Officer, it went to Mrs. Bafuboni.
Director General of Prison. Who's also the wife of the Acting Chief Justice.
Who later in the day also had to carry the baton.
Yeah.
The Acting Chief Justice also was at the forecourt or in front of the High Court.
The court complex.
He also picked up the baton. Mm. And then we went through the principal streets of Accra, Empress Gifty, Ohinayere Gifty, and the rest. All of them came, including the mayor of Accra. They held the baton, trying to signify, in fact, we're preaching unity through sports. And so yesterday was beautiful. This morning, they traveled up there. They have been to Adonton Senior High. They've been to Ebri Girls Senior High. They've been to the Omanhene of Ebri, Nana Otubo Jankosi.
Yes.
Now they are, there's a Deba in Dodowa where the regional minister is, and they have gotten there, and it's been a good exercise so far. Tomorrow, there'll be a cleanup exercise at the Independence Square Beach. And then we wrap up on Tuesday.
Amazing, amazing stuff. Once again, apologies to all of our friends who couldn't make phone calls. You know, when the conversation gets sweet, we have to say goodbye. There's a message here which I want to, you know, share with us before we wrap it up. Great show. God. Did I hear $10,000? Tell Mr. Sesibi that I've started gymming. But Nifoji, remember that when you start gymming, also start, you know, renouncing your Ghanaian citizenship so you become a Kazakh. Charles, it's been great having you here on the show.
I guess I've done my best. Thank you so much. The opportunity, yourself, multimedia, colleague, journalist, and everybody gives me on all the things I try to manage. Swag, arm wrestling, athletics, the Ghana Olympic Committee, myself. I think I am blessed not just to have worked with these institutions, but I'm blessed to have good brothers like you to give me the opportunity. So thank you so much, Uncle Nat.
Thank you, Papa Tuki.
Manfred Tuki.
Well, just before we wrap up, what can we say? A happy birthday to Charlotte, Madam Charlotte. She's a teacher at Kumasi Academy. And this is coming from her good friend, Bernard Asamoa, who lives in Duisburg, Germany now. And so Bernard Asamoa is wishing Madame Charlotte, a happy birthday today, October 4th, from Duisburg in Germany, also doing the listening. Madame Charlotte, happy birthday to you. And you know how, we coin these names and prefix them for our teachers at that level, you know, nursery school, primary school, Mr. This, you use their first names and then you add a Mr. and then you say Madam. So Madam Charlotte, happy birthday. DJ Wobetti will be taking over very shortly. She'll do a very good song to celebrate your birthday. And of course, to everyone else, we say thank you to you. We're grateful to you for the company. Thank you for doing the listening and contributing to the conversations. We will be headed towards getting information on the Black Stars, their camp, and preparation towards the final element of qualification for the next FIFA World Cup. And hopefully, by the good grace of God and by hard work, the Black Stars should make it to yet another FIFA World Cup. Thank you all so much for doing the listening. I'm grateful to the production team led by Benaya Elon.